Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is We Have Communicators, episode 178, recorded on May 9th, 2013. Enjoy! All right, it's time for We Have Communicators, the show that covers all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me, as usual, is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Michael. As always, I have no doubt it's going to be an amazing and exciting day.
Cool.
Because the three of us are here, and that I think that constitutes a party.
Yeah. All right. I like it. Adam Christensen's also here from the MacCast. Hey, Adam. How you doing?
I guess that would make me the third, right?
You were the third.
The third part of the party. The three of us are here.
Well, yeah,
I mean, that would be correct.
I didn't mean to throw you off track that quickly.
No, see, the problem is Michael can't do math.
No, I understand triangles, something standing stably on a mountainside. Is that what we're talking about?
And then, oh, I don't know.
Three legs and a stool.
Maybe you thought I meant the third is in the third. Adam, because earlier today on when I did that Tech News Today podcast, they were asking me, you know, when I started podcasting, which it's been 9 years, and I think Tom Barrett said, hey, so you're probably the longest running show in podcasting, because, you know, there are people who were doing it before me, but they've gone on to like other shows. They've stopped their show, and I've been doing the MacCast since the beginning. And then we realized that
you're the third Adam of podcasting.
Third Adam C. So there's Adam Curry and right. Adam Christensen and Adam Carolla. So there's some sort of weird Adam C thing.
Was Carolla before or after you?
He was after, but still. Okay. It's just, I don't know. A lot of Adam C's in podcasting, apparently.
Apparently. All right. Well, did you
ways of the universe?
So we've been talking about the crackdown. It seemed like Apple was trying to get rid of app discovery applications from the App Store, and it was based on the fact that they removed App Gratis several weeks ago under Rule 2.25, which says that you don't want to have an application in the store that is similar to the App Store so as to not confuse people. And it seems as though they're continuing on this. All Things D reported in April that removal of App Gratis was, according to them, the first phase of them cracking down on these sorts of applications. And in fact, there have been other apps that have been removed from the App Store, one of which was reported on by Pocket Gamer. This particular application was not named for the sake of keeping the business, protecting it in whatever way it can still, with maybe potential for them to get back on the store. But it was a social app discovery, and according to that developer, they were under the assumption that Apple was okay with these sorts of applications so long as they had some sort of social integration in there. So they were speculating that maybe either there was not enough social stuff in there or that Apple is just cracking down. Well, either way, I guess they're cracking down.
Sure. It's just we don't know exactly why.
Yeah.
Maybe they're getting ready to finally do something with that Chomp technology they bought.
Well, geez, you'd think so.
They don't want any competitors. No, I don't think that has anything to do with it.
No, I don't. I mean, honestly, as we've said before, Chomp didn't seem to do much.
It was lame. Apple has an app discovery problem, so why they would want to crack down on things that help them sell more apps is baffling to me.
Yeah.
The whole ruse about confusion between apps, this is like the same thing with the whole
Google
dialer.
Voice, yeah.
Right. And then when they changed the dialer, they made it exactly like the other ones that they said they were copying before.
Yeah.
I'm like, Do you know what I mean? Like the UI, when they changed their own dialer, they changed it to match some of the other ones that they were complaining about were copying theirs. It's bizarre.
It's the Apple way.
The App Store rules from the very get-go have been this amorphous, weird thing. So they probably have some deep-seated reason for suddenly deciding that, you know, these app discovery apps are bad, but we're never really going to fully understand why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is interesting that, I think there have been some other app discovery applications that have been recently posted to the store, like new ones that are getting through at the same time that other ones are getting pulled down. So I'm not.
But which ones are they pulling down? The most popular ones, probably?
Probably. Although it's hard to say based on the report from Pocket Gamer, because they didn't reveal the name of the application, and I have not heard. Of course, there would be some people who would know because it's not there, but honestly, I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Pegatron. Did we come up with a cool name for them? Or is the Pegatron just the cool name?
Pegatron is the coolest name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a pretty cool name. So they manufacture the iPhone 4S and some iPads for Apple. And they had a quarterly call, or report rather, recently, saying that initially it looked like there's been a bigger drop than they'd expected in orders for iPad minis. Weaker demand than they expected. They said that their revenue would be going down 25% to 30%. There was a lot of speculation that based on this, the demand for iPad minis was going down. However, Fortune then popped in the next day saying, with quotes from the CEO of Pegatron, I guess what's his name? Megatron? that they never commented on specific products, and there's no indication that iPad sales are diminishing relative to the other stuff that they're doing. It seems like it's a broad decrease in sales for them. But at the same time, we have also heard that they would be the likely candidate for producing the cheap iPhone.
An aside, Michael, I think his official title is CEO Prime.
Okay, you're right.
Nicely played.
Okay. CEO Prime.
Yes. Yeah. There's a corollary here that I think is interesting to think about, because a couple days ago or earlier in the week, there was some commenting, or there was a report that Foxconn was going to start moving and away from dependence upon Apple, and that, you know, there's been some rumors that their production is going down. And so that's Apple's, you know, main supplier, or, you know, component, or not component manufacturer, manufacturer, assembler. Mm-hmm. of Apple products. And Pegatron has kind of done some additional work, but, you know, it kind of seems to me like maybe they're just shifting manufacturing from one to the other. And I don't know if that has anything to do with maybe some of the Samsung relationships and things that are going on there. I mean, Foxconn does lots of products for, I think they do Samsung stuff as well. So it's, I don't know if it's part of the secrecy thing. I don't know. But I don't read that into, this is all about the cheap iPhone. I think there was an analyst, though, that did report or think that Pegatron was more likely the ones to be producing the lower cost iPhone. So,
yeah.
Pegatron, it could go either way, but I think mainly it's probably more just Apple shifting suppliers, and it probably has to do more with contracts and pricing and what have you.
Yeah,
that totally makes sense. I don't think it's some big Yeah, I don't have a good word to fit there. It's not. I don't think it's a big thing. It's just this is how the business is moving, and they're shuffling stuff around, and there's no deeper story in here.
And well, and you know, at the same time, they've also announced that I think it was the day after that they're increasing their workforce by 40% in the second half.
That's what
of
I
year.
Mean. Did we not say that already? Did I read ahead?
No, I don't. I don't think I actually quoted the 40% number, but yeah.
Oh yeah.
No, Adam, you just live in the future.
I jumped ahead. Sorry. But yeah, that's the whole point, right? They're shifting. They're going. Pegatron is going up, increasing workforce, and Foxconn says they're going to. Or the rumors Foxconn's reducing their dependence upon Apple. So are they really doing that, or is Apple moving contracts and they need to, you know, they're being forced to reduce their dependence? You know, you can read a lot into this stuff, but the low-cost iPhone thing being thrown in there, there was weird rumors too that, and I'm looking in the show notes to make sure this isn't there, that the initial supplies, I think DigiTimes was saying initial order quantities were going to be really low, like 2.5 to 3 million units or something like that, which just seems bizarre. And so some people were speculating, well, Apple's only going to go after, they're only going to reduce, put that product into emerging markets and more price sensitive markets, or that they're just sort of testing this device. And I don't buy that at all. I think Apple's either going to do a lower cost iPhone or they're not. And
I agree.
There's a lot of debate on what the lower cost is going to be also, I think.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I think that people are looking for a $99 iPhone that's current technology as opposed to the deals on older models. I have a feeling they'll be very disappointed.
Yeah. JP Morgan analysts came out and they said that the price point's likely more to be something in the $350 range, and that seems to make the most sense to me. I don't see Apple doing just a phone for emerging markets, although they could surprise us. I mean, maybe they are looking to do just a device just for China. That would be a huge deviation from what Apple has done in the past, but it also could bring a lot of sales in that region. But they've been using other techniques. I mean, we know in India they had good success with doing discounts and also offering payment plans and things like that. So, and I think that's more, they make more profit from doing those sorts of maneuvers rather than producing some other kind of device that they have to manage and produce. So I think if they're going to bring out a lower cost iPhone, it's really going to be more about expanding the current price point options that they have for consumers. And I think it's to entice what I call, you know, the people who desire an iPhone, really want an iPhone. And if there was one that was priced just slightly higher than the Android device that they're going to settle for, they jump. And I think that's the price point Apple's going to hit. And that sort of 350 unsubsidized price point, 400, something in that range, it could do that, especially when you throw a carrier subsidy on top of that. So, and if it's a, you know, a 4-inch device with a good processor and a decent amount of storage, they could sell a heck of a lot of those. And I don't know. The question would be, is that going to eat into those of us who would buy the top of the line iPhone? And I don't think it will. I think I still opt for the newest, latest, greatest model.
Yeah. Well, how does that come in with deals like those from T-Mobile? I guess it's not as relevant, though, as what we're seeing with, is it AO? Is it AO Wireless? IO? AT&T's new thing?
I don't know how to pronounce it.
Okay, so AO Wireless, like AO, what's up, is a prepaid brand that AT&T just announced today, which sells the iPhone and other smartphones with plans starting at $55 a month for unlimited everything, kind of, where, what is it, two or three? Let me see here. There's a certain number of gigs, and then you get the quote-unquote soft cap. Yeah, 2 gigabytes, and then you get the soft cap, as in you go down to, like, dial-up speeds. You can go to AO Pro, which is $70 per month, and it increases your soft cap to 7 gigabytes, which, hey, that's a good deal, right? And you're not, but at the same time, you have to pay full price for whatever phone you get. So, for
example, they letting you bring your own device?
You can do that, I believe. I can imagine you can do that.
So it's a good option for someone who doesn't want to upgrade. They're out of contract and they've got an old, you know, iPhone 4 or 4S lying around and they just want a good plan at a good price.
I would be very happy with if carriers that do the subsidy thing after the 2 years, it would be nice if they rolled back the pricing a little bit so it's not
Like T-Mobile?
Just like T-Mobile.
Yes, just like T-Mobile. But I'm saying Verizon and AT&T. But they're not going to do that because
someone with coverage you care about,
right? Although T-Mobile seems to have some pretty good coverage around here.
Yeah, it's really a regional thing. I mean,
I think it's certainly better than like Sprint. Sprint is the suck network, unfortunately. But so, for example, the iPhone 4, 16 gig iPhone 4, is $400. It's a refurb. Or an 8 gigabyte reconditioned is $350.
Right. So, could you imagine a 4-inch screen, plastic back, A5 phone for with a lightning connector and some of the newer features for $350?
See, now that's where it makes sense. It makes sense with these uncarrier, quote unquote, carriers.
Sure. So what we're talking about isn't a cheap iPhone. We're talking about the mid-range iPhone.
Yeah, and I think that makes a lot more sense at Apple's current place, because I think that will get some of these people who are looking at that price point device. That, again, going back to some of the things that were in this JP Morgan piece, is they said, in essence, Samsung owns the $350 to $500 phone market at this point. Apple has no presence in that price point, and Samsung has about 35% of the market. And so Apple could go after that, diversify the line. I don't know that they would eat too much. And then I think that it's a long-term gain for Apple, because they're going to lock more of these customers who like really want an iPhone but just won't pull the trigger at that price point. And they'll jump on board, and now they've locked them in the ecosystem, and now they're selling them iTunes, they're selling them iBooks and apps, and they're locking them into the ecosystem. They're giving them the Apple experience. Maybe a lot of these people, I have to imagine, are PC owners, and so ultimately, maybe Apple sells them a Mac at some point.
Yeah, they get the Apple treatment.
Yeah, Oppenheimer talked about, Apple's willing to cut short-term margins for these longer-term gains. And I think that's specifically the kind of thing he's talking about. And we've talked about on this show in the past that I really think the iPhone's reached that maturity point. And you can look at other products that Apple's done exactly the same thing to. We had it was iPod, same kind of model. Once the iPod was kind of saturated, then we got the Nano and then the Shuffle. And those two products, when they came out, they were priced much higher than other products in what you would consider to be the same category. But because it was Apple and Apple had the brand and the sort of desire, people were willing to spend another $50 to get the Apple thing rather than settle for, the Creative thing or a SanDisk thing or whatever it was.
Right. And then you get the halo effect.
And I think the iPhone's at that point now. Apple's sold to all of us who want to buy the latest and greatest fancy iPhone over and over again. And now they're starting to see there's a bunch of people who would jump if Apple had a product, but they're just not going to no matter how much they really want it. So they've got to hit that price point. And I think that's the product we'll see. And I don't know if we'll see it this year or not. I think probably in the fall.
See, and I'm thinking maybe not this fall, but if it happens next fall. But this wouldn't be the first time that Apple has released something earlier than I expect, and I'm certain it's done specifically because I said so, and they just like to spite me.
Yeah, I think Apple's planning on having a huge, huge
fall quarter.
Last quarter. Is that their fourth quarter or third quarter?
I think that's the third quarter.
Fourth quarter is fall. because first quarter is winter. First quarter is the holiday season.
Ah, right. Yeah. I knew it was one off.
So it'd be their first quarter. I think Apple's planning on having a huge 2014 first quarter because that's when they're reporting their holiday numbers, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
I think they're really backweighting everything this year.
I think you're right. And I think Tim Cook set everyone up for that during the shareholders meeting when he came right out and said that there'd be big announcements this fall, or don't expect anything until this fall.
Yeah.
Which is a whole shift for them. And it's really interesting. The only thing I'm wondering is this a 1 year thing? Are they just doing it this year, or is this the new mode? And I think nobody really knows. It's totally speculative at this point.
I don't think Apple knows.
Yeah.
I think Apple knows. I just think they're not going to let us know.
I think in some ways they're just they're adjusting to sort of where the markets are, and I really just feel at this point they don't feel rushed. I don't think they feel any pressure from the competition. It's just nothing's setting in and taking off in a way that I think they really need to worry about, at least in the categories that they're in. And a lot of people like to talk about all the cheap Android phones, but Apple just currently isn't playing in that market. Now that may change if they bring out this lower cost device. They might have to get more competitive. But again, we've seen them do that in the past with products like the iPod, and they usually end up doing pretty well for themselves. So I don't have any worries about that.
Yeah. Yeah, they usually end up doing okay.
Usually. There is a track record here.
Yes. And hey, their stock has been doing pretty well these days.
Well, that helps when you give investors back a crud load of money.
Yeah.
They like that.
They do indeed. So we should probably talk about our wonderful sponsor, which is audible.com. It's where you get, I would say the best audiobooks, but they have all the audiobooks. Let's just say they have the best and all of them at the same time. So they're the leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the internet. It is a consumer service that allows users to choose the audio versions of their favorite books with a library of over 100,000 titles. So they can purchase individual books or... And this is the way that I recommend you go about doing it. If you want the real savings, sign up for Audible Listener, one of the Audible Listener programs, and it gives you recurring book credits for a low monthly fee. So every month you get one or two, or I think you can even get three credits, and they stack up. So you can keep, I think, up to six. Is that correct? I can't remember. They cap you at some point, but I mean, you're probably going to be using those credits pretty quickly because there's a lot of awesome stuff on Audible. Let me see what kind of... They pretty much have all different categories. Like I said, business, classics, fiction, history, romance, mysteries, thrillers, sci-fi and fantasy, self-development, kids, young adults, everything. Anything that's going to be on audiobook, just go to Audible because they will have it. And we have an Audible pick this week. So first, before we talk about the audio pick, or Audible pick, I should say, we have a special deal for you. If you have not yet tried Audible, I highly recommend that you do. And we have a special deal that you can't normally get just by going to the website and signing up. You can get a free audiobook if you go to audiblepodcast.com/WHC for We Have Communicators, and that'll get you signed up with the basic Audible Listener program. It'll give you one credit and you can go and get, I would say, almost any book there. I haven't come across an Audible book that is more than one credit. And there are some books on there that are like huge. I think I've gotten 40 some hour long books for one credit, which is a huge deal. It's awesome.
Well, how many credits is the Steve Jobs bio? That thing's like 24 hours of audio or something crazy.
I'm sure it's one. Wow. I can only imagine it's just one credit, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so Adam, you have a pick, right?
Yeah, I was going to pick the Graveyard book by Neil Gaiman. Great author. Some people know him from Coraline because they did that movie a few years ago, which is also actually a good book. But I really enjoyed the Graveyard book. And it's interesting. It's a children's book. But here's the concept. There is a family that is murdered and the baby escapes and crawls into a graveyard and then becomes raised by ghosts.
Ah.
Yeah. And it's the story about, they call him Bod for Nobody. His name's Nobody Owens Bod, and he's raised by these ghosts. And it's a great, great book. And I think, I'm trying to remember, I was going to pull it up in my iTunes. I believe it's read by Neil Gaiman as well, which is, I always like it when the books are read by the author.
It is read by Neil Gaiman.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you kind of get their direct interpretation of the character. Some people like that. Some people don't. I really like that. So, excellent, excellent book, and you know it's Audible, so the quality is awesome, and you can get it on all your devices and sync it across. And it was a really good book to just lay down. I would lay down at night and get ready to go to sleep and listen to a couple chapters. It was a great book. So, and Neil Gaiman's great to follow on Twitter as well. Just for the record,
what's his Twitter name?
Neil himself.
Ah, okay. Yeah. So. Like I said, they have tons of books on here, and one of the great things that they do for you, even if you, let's say you go and do the WHC deal, you get one free book, you get to keep it forever. And you don't have to give them your credit card, or, well, maybe you do, but you can cancel, and they're totally cool about it. You get to keep the book, you can listen to it on all of your devices. If you do stay on, you can amass this huge collection of Audible books, and they all stay there forever. So you can re-download, re-listen to, and what makes it really super easy to use with is the Audible app for iOS. So that's my preferred way to do it, because you don't have to worry about downloading it to your computer and throwing it into iTunes and syncing it across. You just download the application, sign in with your account, and from right there, you can access your entire library of all the books you've ever downloaded. I have some books that I haven't even listened to, because some of them are just like, I have 3 credits and all these books look awesome right now, and I just download them all and I have them forever. It doesn't matter that I haven't listened to them, because I can listen to them whenever I want to. And so you can download right to the application. And what's great is you don't have to wait for it to fully download. I've downloaded plenty of audiobooks over 3G or 4G and started listening to them in the car within 30 seconds of them starting the download. So,
yep.
Yeah. You know what I liked recently too, is they now integrate with your Amazon account.
Oh yeah. I've not gotten a chance to try that, but that's a really cool feature.
Yeah. I've had Audible forever, so I didn't have it integrated, and now I have it integrated. So I just have the one login with my Amazon account. All my books are transferred over. They're all in there. So that was really nice.
Well, they have that cool, the WhisperSync,
yep,
voice ready, which means that if you're reading an Amazon book in your Kindle app, you can, at some point you stop there, then you can pick up with WhisperSync right in the audiobook. So let's say you're reading at home and you decide you need to go somewhere in the car. All you do is you turn on your Audible app in the car and it picks up right from where you are. And then as soon as you're finished in the car, you come back home. It knows where you left off in the audio portion. You're bookmarked right in the Kindle app, which is a totally awesome feature. So yeah, check them out. Audiblepodcast.com/WHC. Get a free audiobook. If you haven't tried Audible at this point, just do it. Go try it. And it lets them know that you're listening to We Have Communicators and enjoying the wonderful ad. I mean, these guys.
And it gets you a book. Stuff.
It gets you a book. Whatever book you want. Check it out. Audiblepodcast.com/WHC. And we thank them so much for sponsoring We Have Communicators. They rock. So with that, there's been a new antenna related part for the upcoming iPhone. I'm always cautious.
Does this get
about
us excited now? Is this get us all?
I don't know.
Juiced up.
I'm always.
I know. I'm hot and bothered.
Yeah. Ooh, new iPhone. It's coming finally.
New antenna part.
Antenna part. Yeah.
Look, it looks different than the other one.
It does.
Slightly.
Slightly different.
Kinda.
Yeah. You know, it's strange that I have this weird habit of taking my stuff apart. And as soon as I got my iPhone 5, I'm like, yeah, I have a Pentalobe screwdriver. I could totally just, you know, unscrew this. And I actually pulled one of the screws out. No, I pulled both of the screws out, and I tried to see how easy it would be to get the thing apart. And I didn't try too hard because
you need a suction cup, right? I mean, you take the two screws out and then you suction cup the front screen by the home button and you pry up a little bit.
That's why my mom doesn't give me a suction cup, because I'm going to take everything apart.
That totally makes sense.
Yeah.
I completely rebuilt my iPhone 3GS because it got dropped and the screen cracked, and then I had a speaker problem. So I got a bunch of parts and rebuilt it. It's fun. It's a fun weekend project.
Yeah,
I have you looking for something to do.
Uh-huh. I have a friend who there was some chocolate in her cup holder, something like that.
Oh yeah.
And she put her, like, it was a hot day, and she put her iPhone down in there, and now her speaker sounds old timey.
And but everything she says smells really good.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry,
you both said the same thing. Joke. It's the same joke.
It's okay. We were going down the same path.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's a new antenna part because there's going to be a new phone. iPhone 5S, right?
Or iPhone 6.
Or iPhone 6. Or iPhone...
Or just
Space iPhone. Or whatever. So, yeah. Did you guys see that article that The Verge wrote up on the guy who does the photography for Apple's products?
Mm-mm.
It was a very cool article.
No, I haven't looked at it.
Honestly, what he was talking about, how he did the stuff, was somewhat interesting. But honestly, the most interesting part about the whole thing was seeing the photographs of the rigs that he uses. There are so many lights. And I mean, he talks about using lights as people use layers in Photoshop to compose an image. Like, to him, he just does it that way. And the rigs that he uses to take photos of the products are just so elaborate and crazy looking. And he takes several photos and, you know, uses surgical gloves to clean off the devices. The video that was posted was a time lapse of them doing the photos of the iPhone 3G for the Macworld cover. And you see that cover, and I remember it. I remember thinking, okay, this is just one of Apple's stock images. No, it's not. And I thought, this is also a total render of an iPhone. And it totally isn't. Because you see the genesis of this thing as it's going on. You see two iPhones sitting there, and he props them up in the special way, and then he lights them with a billion lights and takes several photographs, and you see this giant rig that he has with a Mac Pro, and as he's doing live shots and everything, and then you see the little touch-up Photoshop work that he does. It's touch-up. It's not a lot of stuff. He does superimpose the apps on the screen, for example, but everything else, it's one of those things that it looks so good that it seems like it's a render, but it's not.
Well, photos,
that's just insane.
Yeah. Well, have you ever tried to take a picture of an iPhone without getting any kind of hideous reflection or any iOS device? It's
nearly impossible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You'd have to do that. And as far as you're always better off capturing what you want then, in my opinion, than trying to sort of Photoshop and do it after the fact. It's the same thing we do with audio. It's the same thing you do with video, right? You want to capture the best possible thing in that you can and have to do the least amount with it on the computer. A lot of people think, you know, you can shoot whatever and just fix it all on the computer. It's so, you can do that these days with the tools we have, but it's so laborious and so time consuming. So this seems like it would be much more complicated. But once you've nailed down a manual process like this guy knows how to set up the lights right. He knows how to put the equipment together to get the best shot. Mm-hmm. So you do it, you might spend a really long time that first couple times you do it. But once you've got a process down, it's just repeating that process.
And you have much better photographs.
Yeah, with making slight adjustments. So,
yeah. It's very cool. Go check it out. There's a link in the show notes for that to see how that's done. It's really cool. So Rovio, and I don't usually talk about specific applications, but they've done something really cool. When I was playing Angry Birds for that 1 week where I was totally addicted and then I got bored with it, I had it on my iPhone and on my iPad, and I thought, oh, cool, with Game Center, I'll totally be able to play a little bit on my iPhone and go to my iPad and pick up where I left off. And then I realized, no, you can't do that. Because I don't play a lot of games, I'm not really aware of the fact that Game Center doesn't do that. But Rovio has introduced an accounts feature that allows you to do exactly that. Now, it's not rolled out for all of their games. I think it's only, let's see, The Croods and the original Angry Birds in Finland and Poland, but they're planning to expand that soon. Now, that's really cool, but it makes me think this is something that Apple totally needs to bring to Game Center as an API that developers can utilize to save your game saves across different devices. Because, I mean, that's just the direction that we've been going toward as time goes on. And I think that you can get Angry Birds on your Mac as well. So the idea of, and lots of other games are cross-platform, not just for iOS devices, but also to Macs. And having that as an API for developers to save your progress so you can pick it up wherever you want, that's sort of the dream of the cloud, right?
For gamers, yeah. But, I mean, that would be... That's the frustrating thing for me for Angry Birds, because I do have some of their games on my iPhone and my iPad. But by and large, what I've ended up doing is just buying an iPad version of the game and leaving it at that, because I have to restart everything when I jump over to my iPhone.
Yeah, and you don't want to do that.
No.
So yeah.
So I say bring it on. It's about time.
Yeah, that's my prediction for Game Center this next round. Other than losing all the felt and the faux wood, I think if they just added that feature, they'd be good.
All they have to do to make Game Center better for me is to make the buttons actually look like freaking buttons.
Oh yeah, so you know what to tap.
Exactly.
Are there things that are buttons that
in Game Center, it's horrible. It's yellow, felty, flat things, but they look like they're part of the background.
Oh yeah, like
it's
change,
really bad. And I took me a month. No, I'm exaggerating, but it felt like a month to figure out what to tap on in Game Center.
Yeah, some of these are a little bit crazy.
Yeah, I hated it when it first came out. I still hate it. Luckily you don't have to go in there all too frequently, actually into Game Center. I love Game Center integration in my games, but luckily you do not have to interact directly with Game Center all that frequently.
Yeah, that's a good thing, I think. Well, at least with the way it is right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, enough Game Center bashing.
Yeah. So, I think that's it. Unless you guys have anything else to talk about, this is, I think, one of our shortest shows because it's been slim pickings this week.
At an hour. We're almost an hour.
We're barely even close to an hour. We'll get to one, though. We have to talk about our iPhone
picks.
Gotta
get picks, yeah.
Yeah. So, Jeff, do you have a pick this week?
I do. I'm going with a game this week. I'm going with Lego Batman and DC Super Heroes.
Ooh.
It came out a few days ago, and I'm just a big fan of the Lego games anyhow. What I like about this one is that you get to play with a bunch of the DC superheroes. You start off with Batman and Robin, and then you can expand out and you get a bunch of other superheroes over time. So you can get Superman and Wonder Woman and Green Lantern and Flash and then there's a bunch of villains that you get that you can fight against. And it's just like so many of the other Lego games, it's done well, it's fun. And even though it's the same type of graphics as all the other Lego games, you don't feel like you're just playing the same game with different characters. So anyhow, Lego Batman DC Super Heroes, and I think it's $4.99.
It is indeed.
And I don't know if it's universal or not. I didn't bother to check.
It is.
Oh, well, there you go. Now you can play it on your iPhone and your iPad.
Yep. Cool. Adam, what is your pick this week?
All right, I'm going to have to do it. I'm going to do the expensive pick.
Okay.
I got this a while ago. Well, because I'm going to pick the Nest.
Okay. Oh,
yeah.
Learning thermostat. And the new version. I got the new version, the version 2, a couple months ago. Actually used it. We were having trouble with our heating and cooling system, and we thought our old thermostat had sort of died. And it's funny because normally my wife is not. She could care less about technology whatsoever. But I thought, oh, I'll try this. So I mentioned it to her. And she's like, I want it. Go get it. So, and that's not usually how buying technology in my house goes. So I jumped at the chance and we got it. And I absolutely love it. The installation was probably like one of the best things. You would think it would be complicated. You know, you're dealing with electrical wiring, so you need to be careful there. So if you are uncomfortable about that at all, make sure you hire somebody. But, you know, just shut the power off to the area, and then they make it really easy to do step by step to put everything in there to get the wires hooked up. And, you know, once it's all set up, it is gorgeous. The cool thing I didn't know until I had it installed is it has a little sensor on it. So as you walk up to it, it sort of turns itself on. And then you can just, of course, monitor things on the device. It has a little, it tries to help you save energy. So at certain temperatures, it will show you this little green leaf to show you that, you know, this is the most energy efficient setting. So you set up your heating temperatures, you set up your cooling temperatures, and then it will kind of learn, like every time you turn the dial, it figures out, okay, well, you know, at 8 in the morning, they like it a little warmer. So eventually it'll start setting those settings automatically for you. And, you know, so that's just the start of the whole thing. And then it has all kinds of other energy saving features. So like if we're cooling in the summer, it will shut off cooling a little bit earlier, but then like leave the fan on. I think they call this like the air cool mode, so that it continues to blow the cool air around, but you're not using the energy of actually, you know, having the air conditioner running. And has similar types of functionality for the heat. It, you know, you hook it into your Wi-Fi, so there's an app now I can control it. And that's another feature I love because I'm super lazy. So I'll be sitting here in the office and the air conditioning will come on, or I'll hear the heating system come on and I'll be like, I don't need that on right now. So I just pop open the app and, oh yeah, it's this temperature. And I will just adjust it down right from there. And I don't have to get up and go anywhere. So even that's cool. And then, of course, remote access from anywhere. And another part of the learning feature is it'll learn, like, if you go to work every day, it'll eventually learn that you're not there because it has the motion sensor. So every time you walk down the hallway or whatever, it'll, oh, they're at home right now. It'll start to learn when you are typically away from the house. And then it'll go in automatically into an away mode. You can set the temperature ranges for when you're away. Just super cool.
That is just so cool.
The design is just awesome. And if you've ever dealt with learning thermostats, so many of us have thermostats that are programmable in our houses, and I never used mine. I didn't know how to use it. Like, there's this manual and just, ugh, it was impossible. And now I can go and I can look at get a history. And then it even, once you know, you sort of register on the site and you can go to the website and control things, but it will also send me an email with sort of an energy summary. Every month I get this little update from the house, basically like, here's how much energy you used. And I think we used the heater about 4 hours more this month than last month. So I just got that little report. So
interesting. Does it talk to you?
No, there's no voice control. They did a software update recently, so it's got some new features. I was trying to see what some of the new features are. Oh, they have I guess there were some issues because, has a temperature sensor in there so that it knows, you know, what the temperature is, and it also knows your regional temperature, so what it is outside. And I guess in some cases, if you had the thermostat where direct sun was hitting the Nest unit itself, it was off a little bit, so they did an adjustment for that. They now have a cool to dry feature, so if you live in a humid area, it'll actually turn on the cooling to sort of dehumidify your house. Some more advanced fan controls and things like that. So
nice.
I would like it if it had a Jarvis voice.
Well, and I think there is, I have to go look into it, but I think there's some cool stuff you can do with if this, then that now.
Yes. Yes. There are some cool things you can do. You totally need to go play with that.
Yeah. So you can have it, you know, monitor weather and make adjustments for you. And
cool.
Yeah. And the design is just, it's gorgeous.
Right. Yeah. It's basically just a knob,
aluminum
right?
ring and yeah.
Is there
just
a
turn it?
Is it a touch screen or is there a knob?
Yeah, no, it's a touch screen. Well, it's not a touch screen. That's actually like a giant physical button you like push in. And then so you turn the whole outside of the thing. It's like a giant scroll wheel.
So it's like an iPod.
To select, you sort of click. It's almost like the original. Yeah, almost like the original iPod, which makes sense because it was the same guys that designed the original iPod, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Neat. So it's $250.
Yeah, not for a thermostat, folks. So let's put this in perspective. It's ridiculous. It was completely ridiculous, but I love it.
But wifey said okay so and
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had authorization, so I had to take advantage of it because I'm a huge tech nerd.
Yep. So I'm looking around on eBay. You can find a couple on there for a little bit less, maybe.
Yeah, the original model. I will say that we turned out later that it wasn't our thermostat that was broken, and we had to have the guy come in and fix the thing. And he said that they were selling tons of the Nests, and that everybody that bought one absolutely loved them. They had installed all kinds of other programmable thermostats, and people would return them and not want them. He said they've had zero of these returned. When I went to pick it up at Lowe's, the cashiers at Lowe's were like, "Oh, you're getting one of these. Everybody loves these. We've had zero returns on these. Like nobody brings them back once they have them." But the other thing he said is the original one, I guess, was pretty thick. It stuck pretty far out from the wall. But the version 2 is a lot thinner, apparently.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm looking at one. It's $185 for a first gen.
Yeah, so you can get the first gen cheaper, but just know it's going to stick out a little bit more. But pretty much all the same functionality as far as I know.
Cool. All right. So I guess I have to come up with a pick. I still haven't really decided, so I guess I'll have to decide on Heads Up. Have you guys seen this one? It's a game that... It's like that. I was introduced to this game in Inglorious Bastards.
Is it Passphrase?
In the bar,
$25,000 pyramid.
It's the one where you write the name of a thing on a card. Someone writes the name of a thing on a card, and you put it on your head, and other people have to give you hints about what you are or who you are. And you can't see the card, and you have to guess what your card says. So everybody else can see it, but you can't.
Is it the other game?
I don't know.
I think...
Which is a kid's game, but...
Oh, yeah.
But there was a game show where you would have celebrities, and I think they were similar. $25,000 pyramid, which I think became the $100,000 pyramid or something like that. And also, I want to say it was called Catchphrase or Passphrase.
Yeah, that sounds right. That sounds very familiar.
Where the celebrity would... Basically, the celebrity would get a word. You wouldn't know what it is. They couldn't use that word, and they'd have to give you clues, and you have to try and guess what the word is.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Pretty much like that. So the way it works is you choose a category. You have a bunch of different categories. Let me pull up the categories that they have in here. So they have pop stars, acted out, animals... blockbuster movies, icons, legends, and stars, accents, and impressions, and Hey Mr. DJ, which is music. And I think you have to hum them out. So there are different rules for some of these. For the acted out, you obviously have to act out what you're talking about. And for the most part, the other ones are just giving hints without saying the thing. So you pick one, and what happens is you just, as soon as you put it up to your head, it knows that you're ready to go, and it starts, and there's I think it's 30 seconds or a minute long timer, and you see how many you can get through before time is up. And so you're given the hints, and as soon as you get it right, you tilt it down to indicate that you got it right, and then you put it back on your forehead, and the next one shows up. And if you want to pass, you tilt it up over your head to pass. And then at the end, it'll show you how many you you got and how many you passed and what your total score is. And it's very, very well designed. It's really fun to play. And one of the best things about it is there's no real structure to it. So you can play it with a group of people, with teams, or you can play just two different people in a room by yourselves doing this thing because it's fun. And one of the neat things is it also, because it's up on your forehead, it uses the front camera of your iPhone to record the person giving you the hints.
Oh, awesome.
So if something funny happens, you have it recorded, and then you can share it with your friends. So yeah.
That's awesome.
It's called Heads Up, and it's only $1. And there are a bunch of different categories that you can buy as add-ons. So you can get like Totally 80s or That's So 90s for $1 in addition to the $1 you already spent on it. So, but I mean, hey, it's really cool. But really well done app.
It's done well, and because it's done by the same guys who did Clear, right?
Is it?
Yeah, it's the same developers.
Okay.
Philip Ryu.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, he knows his stuff.
Totally. Or is it Phil? Phil or Philip?
Ryu? Phil Ryu, whatever. Either way, same thing.
It's Phil unless he's in trouble, then it's Philip.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so with that, you can find the show notes and our picks at wehavecommunicators.com. Review the show in iTunes. That helps us out in finding more people to listen to the show. You can send feedback at you can send feedback to feedback@wehavecommunicators.com. That's the email address. Tell a friend about the show. We love that. The phone number is 202-642-6667. If you want to call in and ask us something, or honestly, doing an email of like a voice recording is easiest for us all. So,
yeah, but if you call the number, you can say a series of random words, and then Google tries to sort out what you really meant.
That is true.
Awesome.
That is true. Also, you can use that as like your one phone call if you're thrown in jail.
Yeah, because Michael will totally come bail you out.
Nope, I will not. So it would be a waste of a phone call.
Yeah, but it would still be a fun phone call.
I'd play it on the podcast. But you'd have to
you'd have your moment of fame.
You'd have to get like the bailiff to verify, like, yeah, he's in jail.
I don't think the bailiff would do that unless you're calling from the courtroom.
Okay, who's the guy who's like walking you over to the phone?
It'll just be a deputy.
Some deputy. Okay, get the deputy to say something.
And now I can just see this. You're going to start getting calls from all these parents. My kid went and got arrested just so he could call you from jail.
Yeah, it was Jeff's idea.
This wouldn't be the first time I've gotten in trouble.
Yeah, but you used to be a cop, so you can get out of it.
Okay. I'm sure that's exactly how it works.
Yeah, me too. All right. So with that, advertising is handled by Backbeat Media, backbeatmedia.com. Of course, our sponsor, Audible, at audiblepodcast.com/WHC. Get a free audiobook. Check it out. Do it. It's awesome. Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer. MacObserver.com. He's at JGamet on Twitter. And you're going to a user group tonight? Are you presenting?
Yes, as a matter of fact, as soon as we're done recording, I have to pack up my laptop and head to Boulder for the Colorado Macintosh user group.
Yeah, so you can see Jeff there and complain to him there.
Apparently Waz is in Colorado right now, too.
Oh.
He's over in Denver, though.
Did he send you a text or something?
No, he tweeted that he landed there this morning. Like, I don't know if he was staying there. Maybe he was just passing through.
Oh, yeah. That's a place to pass through for sure.
Yeah.
I stop here.
He's not coming. Oh, I don't know how. I'm so bad with geography. How far is Denver from Boulder, Jeff?
Denver to Boulder, like if you're going from the airport.
Mm-hmm. Well, the airport.
Okay, yeah.
Just in the middle of the border.
From the airport, that's not fair.
The airport to Denver is like 50 miles.
Yeah, so if you're going from Denver up to Boulder, that's like 45 or 50 minutes.
Yeah, cool.
That's not bad. Go get Waz.
Yeah, bring them to your user group meeting.
Yeah, that would freak some people out. It'd be cool. Adam Christensen's at the MacCast, MacCast.com. At MacCast on Twitter, and member.maccast.com is the member version of the MacCast.
Oh.
Yep.
Thank you. And I should point out the Impending is the name of the developer that helped with the Heads Up app. They partnered with Real Mac Software, which does Clear. They had a hands in Clear. I don't know how deep it goes, but they're the ones that developed the Heads Up app. I guess Austin Sarner was also involved, so that's why it's so cool, design-wise.
Yeah, I think Clear is the Starbucks app of the week, right?
Ooh, is it?
Oh, yes, it is right now. Yes, you're absolutely right.
Ooh, I got to open my Starbucks app. Thanks.
Yeah.
Bonus pick.
I did that too. It's fun to play with, at the very least.
Yeah, it's a cool little app.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. And also check out Appler, GetAppler.com. Get Appler. And you'll be able to follow us all and see all the cool apps that we like. So with that, we'll see you next time on We Have Communicators.
Internet.
How are we going to communicate this?
The stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right?